There's a lot of things in this old world that just do not make sense. Like why there's so few believers on the firing line, while so many others sit the fence. But if you want to know where the Word of God stands, and believe it wants to use your feet and hands, it's time to take your faith out of the seats and into the streets, and come along with me. If you only look, then you will see on WCN TV.
Welcome to today's WCN-TV program. We are broadcasting live, and this is Tuesday, August 13th, 2024. Well, I've been away from this camera for a while now. As you know, WCN-TV took a break during the month of July to give me an opportunity to catch up on a lot of stuff. But I'm back now, and one of the things I'd really like to see happening here in the coming months and even years is for WCN-TV to become a meeting place for our Wisconsin Christian News supporters and followers. This is a chance for us each week to talk together, fellowship, and learn from some great speakers and teachers. And it's about as close as I can get you to being at one of our live conferences every week. So please tell others that you know, and especially those in our Wisconsin Christian News family, that this is an important time every Tuesday. Join the program live and participate in the discussion. If you're watching live now on WCNTV.net and haven't already, just click on the button that says Join the Studio Audience, and you can be live with us here too. It's that simple. And you know, there's no pressure to participate. If you don't want to, you don't have to, but I hope you will. I realize a lot of people are working or just leaving work around this time, 5 p.m. Central on a Tuesday afternoon. So if you're not able to watch and participate live, you can always watch later at WCNTV.net or on our Rumble.com page. Well, today we have a very special guest for you, and our topic is one that I know many people are going to be able to relate to. One of our viewers requested that we have today's guest on the program, and our guest is George Carneal. George grew up being raised by a Southern Baptist minister and with same-sex attraction. Today, he's going to share his struggle with homosexuality and also give us a good dose of hope that there is deliverance from this bondage through Jesus Christ. I'm sure a lot of us know people who are struggling with this issue because it's being promoted heavily in every area of our culture, and our children are now being deliberately groomed and indoctrinated into this life of confusion. So, George, thanks for joining us, and welcome to WCN-TV today.
Thank you, Rob. Glad to be here.
Why don't we start off, maybe tell us a little bit about your background, where you were born and raised, and what your family life was like as a child.
Yeah, I was raised by a Baptist minister in the South, and I have three siblings and a mom, and we grew up in the church, and faith was important to me, although growing up early on struggling with the same-sex attraction, not understanding where these feelings were coming from. You know, as time went on, especially when you hear Christians make very derogatory remarks about homosexuals, or the pastors preach on Sodom and Gomorrah, or in my case of when I was being bullied by the boys in school, being called faggot, sissy, queer, homo, when I eventually figured out what those words meant, what was more confusing for me was, well, how did they know something about me that I had yet to come to terms with myself? So I really wasn't sure that God would love someone like me. So there was a real battle between my faith and my struggle with the same-sex attraction. I didn't know where it came from. So I just wrote the book for basically three reasons. I wanted Christians to just get inside the mind of a child and just share what it was like struggling with this nightmare, what I call the monster in my head. And really what laid the foundation in terms of how I got into the lifestyle, what God had to do to get me out of the lifestyle, but also give parents hope who have LGBT children, to give them some insight so hopefully they will know what to do and what not to do, as not to push their children away. Because once they, if they push their children away and the kids fully go into that lifestyle, there are no godly influences. So I hope that it will also give them some hope, and especially for the LGBT individuals who hopefully will read my story, that they will see that they are being lied to by Hollywood, by the media, by the liberal theologians, and by the LGBT activists. And so for Christians, I want you to know, I did take all of the talking points of the LGBT activists and the liberal theologians, and I debunked those with scripture. So if Christians do want to read the book and just familiarize themselves with these talking points, they'll be much more equipped when these individuals throw this stuff at them to lovingly disarm them and speak the truth of God's word to them. So it's kind of a threefold reason as to why I wrote the book.
And I forgot to mention that George did write a book. It's called From Queer to Christ, My Journey into the Light. And you can find that at George's website, georgecarneal.com. But George, how old were you when you realized you had a same-sex attraction? And what do you think triggered that?
I was in first grade when I can definitely remember being attracted to a little girl, but also a little boy in my class. So probably 6, 7 years old. And I really don't know why I had that. I will tell you, I think with the disconnect with my male peers in school, and my father also wasn't overly demonstrative with his love, so I was just really deficient in male bonding. I had a lot of female love, and the girls at school embraced me. But I don't know if this could be a generational curse or if there were some other childhood traumatic issues. I really don't have any recollection of anything about my life prior to 5 years of age. So if there were some sexual things that perhaps happened, who knows? I've put this before God. I've been asking for answers because I really don't know why I was saddled with this. And I will tell you, Rob, it was part of my anger because I couldn't understand how come my brothers and my sister aren't struggling with this, but why am I saddled with this? So I felt it was unfair. I felt I was being judged and condemned for something I didn't ask for, even before I had even experimented with the guy. And I was just really angry with God, angry with my father, just angry with everybody. And I just finally told God I hated him and I wanted nothing to do with Christians, and cut my family off for quite some time and just became fully immersed in that lifestyle.
You know, that seems to be kind of a common thread in folks that I know that have struggled with this. They have a lack of male influence as they're growing up. Yeah, I think that is a very substantial point. And in our society today, unfortunately, we have a lot more of that as well, as fathers are not sticking around. Families are broken. Families are in distress. And fathers are not training up their children. So, but what was it that happened in your life that eventually led to your freedom from this addiction? I'm going to call it an addiction.
And that's really what it is. After 25 years, you know, most people don't know this, but the LGBT community, it's really like a cult. And you are bombarded with all of the talking points. And so I had 25 years of this programming. And really was led to believe that the conservative Christians were just very narrow-minded. But I detail a lot of this in the book. But by the end of the 25 years, and most of this was in the LA club scene, I was just miserable. I was depressed. I'd already attempted to take my life. I was a prostitute. I was on drugs, drinking, sex addiction, you name it. By this point, it was really either give Jesus a chance or take my life. Try it again. And through a series of events, I walked away from it. I wasn't sure if God still wanted to have anything to do with me, because I had always been programmed to believe God hates fags and they're going to hell, and he created AIDS to kill the fags. So it stole any hope that I had that maybe he would want a relationship with me. And that's why I went into Hinduism and the occult and into New Age teachings, because I was really trying to form my own brand of spirituality. But thank God he was patient with me. He really started to help me become, I think, more disillusioned with that lifestyle. And what people don't know or may not know is that the LG, especially in the gay lifestyle, it's a very youth-oriented culture. So as you start to age and your body falls apart, or if your looks fade, in that culture, you're pretty much discarded like trash. I mean, they don't really want to have anything to do with you because it's such a sex-obsessed culture. And plus, it's hard to find people in real monogamous relationships. And it's fraught with so much with the drugs, alcohol. There's a lot of dysfunction. And it's just a dangerous and destructive lifestyle. And I was not finding any peace in that life. And by the end, I think God was really impressing upon my spirit as I sat in a seedy bar in Hollywood. And there was this elderly man who always sat in the corner. He drank all night long. My heart did go out to him, but it was as if God was saying to me, if this is the life you want, here's the end of the road for you. And although I wasn't sure where that road was going to take me, I knew I'm not going to be an old man sitting in a bar just and drinking myself to death. Just not going to do it. I walked away from that lifestyle. God put me into a liberal church in Los Angeles that, unbeknownst to me, was going to push the LGBT agenda. Although I was appreciative that I could meet other individuals struggling with this issue, God was not giving me any peace. And it took a couple of things to happen to where I realized this is not it. I walked away from it. I turned my back on it. I just told God, Rob, that I said, Lord, if it is okay to be in a committed, monogamous, homosexual relationship, give me peace with it. And I trust you'll put a good Christian man in my life, because I really wanted to grow old and be with someone. But I also told the Lord, but if it is wrong under all circumstances, if you will help me to truly know it, I will still follow you. And he answered the prayer, and I rededicated my life to Christ. I asked for forgiveness. I truly repented of my wicked and sinful ways. And God finally gave me what I had been looking for all along, and that was peace of mind, peace with myself, and most of all, peace with him. And that torment in my mind was gone. So, and I've been out of that lifestyle for about 17 years now, and I have no regrets. And God has filled that void in other ways. So there, you can break free from that bondage. But Rob, really, at the root core, most of these individuals have suffered severe trauma, shame, rejection, and some form of abuse. And we all need good counseling by caring, empathetic, Christian counselors, and with the help of the Holy Spirit to help these individuals work through those root core issues. And then for me, that's how I found my freedom.
So if I may ask, have you had relationships with women? Are you married? Have you dated women?
Yeah, I tried dating women when I was in high school or junior high, but I was really just kind of shy and I wasn't interested in them. So when they would eventually break up with me anyway, I thought, why am I subjecting myself to this rejection? I don't want to be with you anyway. I really wanted to be with guys. There was a real need or a void in my life for men. So no, I've never even been with a woman. And in a way, that's a good thing, because if the day comes where God changes my feelings and I fall in love with a woman, at least I'll have something new to look forward to. But to be quite honest, Rob, I don't focus on sexuality and sex. There's more to life than that. My identity is not in that. It is in Christ. And I really want to remain free at this time of my life, and however many more years I have left, because I really want to sound the alarm, especially to Christian churches, and help Christians understand this issue, but also give hope to LGBT individuals who see no way out of this. I really want to see something good come out of the hell that I went through in that lifestyle for 25 years and see others find freedom and not go down the same path that I did. So that's my focus.
Okay. Before we move on, anyone in our audience have any questions or comments for George or for me? You can raise your hand there and we'll bring in the show. Okay. So, George, there are many now who are being dragged into this lifestyle that never had a same-sex attraction before, but they're actually victims of the LGBTQ affirming agenda. This lifestyle is glorified in every area of our society now, but what is it that the public isn't being told about this? You mentioned it's a cult, which, you know, I think we're pretty much all aware of, but what is it that we don't know?
The bigger agenda is that we know it's a spiritual, there's a spiritual battle going on, which of course the world can't see and they're not going to recognize it. They're going for the children. And I said this years ago in media interviews, and I was castigated for it. I was seen as a conspiracy theorist and, oh, you're making stuff up. You're being dramatic. That's never going to happen. But I was warning, the end goal is the legalization of pedophilia. P for pedosexual or MAP, minor attracted persons. Right now I have people coming back to me and saying, I'm sorry, you were right. I'm seeing what they're doing. Right now they're starting to incorporate the pedophile colors into the LGBT flag. The day is coming. And on page 2 of my website, there's a lot of resources. Don't be overwhelmed with it. But I've put a lot of links to cases, especially over in Europe and in Canada, the tyrannical laws that have already been passed, where parents are starting to be stripped of their rights, where if they don't affirm their child or support them transitioning in terms of gender, the children are being taken away from them, or the parents are being arrested. If you post anything anti-LGBT or even anti-Islam, the police will show up at your door. This is slowly creeping into the laws here in the U.S. Everyone needs to keep their eyes focused on California. They're really starting to get tyrannical in their laws. They're starting to strip parents' rights. There are other cases here in the U.S. from various states where parents are having their children taken away from them because they're not affirming the LGBT agenda. The main thing is, once they shove this down the throats of the American people and wear them down and convince them that pedophilia is a sexual orientation, they will put it under the LGBTQ plus umbrella. And the day is coming that if grown men or women want to have sex with your children or grandchildren and you dare to balk, you will be arrested for a hate crime. This is coming if people don't start waking up. Stop sitting on your hands and just waiting for the rapture to happen. We've really got to fight against this agenda. There are a lot of people who are already suffering at the hands of this, but it really is an end goal of legalizing everything that God deems perverted and twisted and that he abhors, and then criminalizing everything that God deems holy. And we're living in such a backwards, upside down society now, but they're not going to stop until they shut up Christians and all opposition to the agenda.
Yeah, and I've witnessed that myself as far as the children, as we've gone out to witness at pride parades and festivals and things like that. They really are focusing on the children, not only those events, but drag queen story times. But how are the children being groomed, and what is the process, and who or what is behind it?
Well, in the school system is the main thing right now, from K through 12. There's actually a sex ed curriculum where they incorporate everything all the way up through K through 12 grade. Right now in various elementary schools, parents may not know, but children are being taught about anal and oral sex, masturbation, homosexuality, transgenderism, even sex toys from dildos, butt plugs, anal lube. They're being taught this stuff already. By grooming these children and slowly seeing this as normal, and let's go have the drag queens read story hour books to us, and then make it all fun and light, what they are doing is just breaking their defenses down. And what happens is what people don't know is that the drag culture, and there are even drag queens speaking out against this. They are absolutely opposed to children being groomed to the drag queen story hour. Drag queen entertainment is very caustic, very adult-oriented humor. It's filthy. It's sexual. It's perverted. It's perverse, but that's what they do. They entertain the audiences. And this is not a place where children should be at all. And I think parents who take their children to these events or even to gay pride parades, they should be arrested for child endangerment. It's ridiculous. But if children are groomed to believe that this is normal, what it's doing is just breaking down their defenses. And then one day when they grow up and we Christians come along and say that this is not normal, we will be seen as the bigots, the homophobes, the transphobes, and we need to be arrested because we're harming people. It's really perverting and twisting the minds of this generation.
Yeah, it's and it's happening right now. So how do you feel the church has failed in its responsibility to those trapped in this lifestyle? And I do believe that most of those practicing this lifestyle are victims of the indoctrination, the brainwashing, the, you know, the grooming. So how has the church failed?
Let me start by saying that a lot of the individuals moving into this lifestyle or the LGBT cult, we all know that as teenagers, one of the worst things is to feel like an outcast. And where the church gets it wrong and where the LGBT community gets it right is they will just take all of what we would deem the freaks, the losers, the outcasts, the mutts. It gives people a sense of belonging. And then they start to be, even if they're not gay, lesbian, or trans, they kind of start to fall into it because they see how much praise you get, and it's the new cool thing to do. What really burns me up, Rob, and this was really a source of just pain for me, was decades ago when I was in the lifestyle and so desperately wanted out and would seek help from pastors. There were pastors who were just so... well, we can't do anything about it. We're not going to talk about it. And I know of gay men where pastors have told them, well, we don't talk about this, castrate yourself or go kill yourself. This is how cruel some of these pastors are. And then when they would stand in the pulpits and rail against the perverts, the sodomites, the homosexuals, but they would go very softly on pornography and on the divorces of heterosexuals, it infuriated me because it's like they want they rail against these people, but they don't want to lift a finger to try to help them. And what I try to do is say to pastors, if you would at least listen to the stories of those of us who have come out of that lifestyle, who are exposing it, it's called information. And once you understand it or sit down and talk to these LGBTQ individuals and just lovingly, hey, share your life story with me. I want to know about your childhood. You are right. You will find that most of them have suffered severe trauma and abuse. And they need help. But if they would try to understand the issue and then realize that once the LGBT individual leaves the life and commits their life to Christ and goes into a church, in my case, the LGBT community turned on me. I lost about 90% of my gay and lesbian friends. That support group was gone. And I went through a real depression over that because these were people I loved and cared about, and they were real friends of mine, or so I thought. But you go into a church where people don't know what to do with you. And then when they have the Sunday, oh, we're going to have family day. I couldn't relate to that. I don't have kids. I'm never going to have a spouse. It just kind of made me feel more isolated and lonely. And so when the church is not providing some kind of support group for these individuals, or even singles in general, for the single heterosexuals who have to struggle with being alone, if there's no sense of community, most of them, due to loneliness and isolation, either slip back into that community or they turn to drugs, alcohol, or they attempt to take their life because, excuse me, they don't see any hope. So it's important for Christians to really understand the issue, and just, it doesn't require anything more than just being a decent human being. The individuals do not need to be changed prior to going into a church. I can tell you, I know this for a fact, gays and lesbians who go into a church where people just treat them with respect and allow them to sit under the teachings of a pastor who has the guts to speak the truth of God's word all of it, sitting under the power of the conviction of the Holy Spirit, I have seen gays and lesbians' lives transformed, even trans individuals. God is really doing a work in the LGBT community, and he is delivering so many people out of that life. Not that people would know it, because the mainstream media will not touch our stories. We are threatened by the LGBTQ community because they don't want our stories out there. We are told to shut up. We are Judases. We are traitors. We are self-loathing homosexuals. The trans community goes after the ex-trans individuals. And we are censored by various social media platforms. But we are out there.
Well, I've seen it too. I've seen hearts and lives changed when people just take the time to listen and have a meaningful conversation with those people that are trapped. And they are trapped. Unfortunately, our pastors today just will not even, most of them will not even touch on the subject unless they're affirming it. Mm-hmm. There are far too many churches out there doing that. What is the danger of so-called woke churches affirming people in this lifestyle?
While I applaud the pastors, if they're genuinely coming from a place of just wanting to offer empathy and compassion, we should have that. That's what Christians should have for anyone and everyone, especially those in bondage. But sadly, the LGBT individuals who are looking to have their ears tickled or looking to sit under a, quote, pastor who will tell them what they want to hear, little do they know that it is at the peril of their own soul. And they really don't understand the magnitude of how much God hates that sin. He hates all sin, the sin of homosexuals and heterosexuals. But he loves us, and Jesus died for all of us. But they must understand that they can try and switch and lie and pervert and twist God's word any way they can. But God's word is very clear that when two men or two women lie together and have sexual intercourse, it is an abomination. And they must come to the realization that it is offensive to a holy God. And it's not worth dying and going to a hell for eternity apart from Christ in a place of eternal torment over a romp in the sack. So that's why I say to the LGBT individuals, you've heard that narrative, but why not listen to our side of it as well? Because it's your job as someone that God gave a brain, and it's your job to do the research, use your common sense, and go to the Lord and sincerely ask him to help you to know the truth, to open your eyes. And if so, he will lead you to the truth so you can get out of that lifestyle. But it really infuriates me when these woke Christians who aren't supporting these individuals because they really care about the individuals, because if they really knew how dangerous and destructive that lifestyle was, they would never push anyone into that lifestyle. They're doing it out of their own ego. It's simply so they can say to others, look at how great I am. I'm so loving and so Christ-like. No, you're not, because Jesus would never affirm it. And so, and they are harming these individuals. And I know that, because if God was okay with it, why is he pulling so many people out of that life? But if you listen to the stories of those of us who have survived that lifestyle and how dangerous and destructive it is, and what we've seen, most people would, who have any kind of heart and common sense, would be mortified to think they would ever affirm this under any circumstances.
Amen. Amen. So, George, do you get a lot of opportunities to speak in churches?
Not really. They come along every once in a while. And even with the media interviews, it can be touchy. Some just want to hit on the highlights. But, Rob, you know, for me, this isn't something I do for my ego. I truly hate seeing LGBT individuals in that bondage. If people knew the letters and the emails that I get from parents and from the LGBT individuals and what this is doing to families, children who are cutting themselves, they are in and out of mental institutions, they are abandoning their faith, they're going into Satanism or witchcraft, they are attempting to take their life, or they have successfully done it, or they are heavily medicated through drugs, alcohol, sex, pornography, etc. You have one parent who may support it and another one who doesn't. So that's now causing friction in their own marriage. But when you hear the heartbreaking stories of what this agenda is doing to so many lives, even those who have children who want to cut off body parts, It's just frustrating that this is something that I can't delve more into in a lot of media interviews or even in churches and conferences. We need to sound the alarm. Some Christians have this attitude that, well, we don't want to plant seeds in the mind of these children. They are already being groomed with this filth from the media and from Hollywood. There's nothing that I can say that would ever plant a seed. All I would be doing is giving a different narrative and exposing the reality of that lifestyle, but especially even exposing the reality and the truth of the cross-sex hormones and the cross-sex surgeries and what it has done to the lives of the trans individuals, what the public is not being told, they are being lied to. And it's trying to keep these kids from making such horrific decisions based on feelings. Because if they can get through puberty, most of them will move through that gender dysphoria. The remnant, the last 20%, are those who have truly gone through some horrific abuse as children. And they seriously need our prayers, our empathy, and our compassion, and they need some good counseling.
Okay. Well, we're going to open things up to our audience here. Russ has a comment or question. Russ?
Excuse me. Yes, George, did you ever get reconciled with your parents on after you came out of that lifestyle? That's my question. Thank you.
Yes. Well, thank you for the question. My mother and I, we never really had a problem. And my siblings, they all loved me. My dad and I, we did reconcile after 4 years of not talking at all. But our relationship really became much stronger, and the Lord really worked and intervened. I felt like at some point my father was trying to understand the issue, but the battle was still, and I'm going to say this for the parents especially, the hardest part of listening to a parent say that the truth of God's word is that I wasn't listening. I wasn't hearing it from an eternal perspective, which is where my father was coming from. I was only hearing it from a worldly perspective. I wanted to love and be loved. But what you're saying to me, if it's an abomination and it's causing God's wrath or a barrier between us, that doesn't make me feel good. But if I want to serve the Lord and make him happy, then I have to go through my life lonely and possibly miserable. And I just couldn't see a way out of that. I couldn't see a way of God filling or fulfilling my life in other ways and filling that void. But to answer your question, my father and I, before his passing, were in a great place, and God really worked it out.
All right. Anyone else in our audience? Questions or comments? Now is your chance. Okay, so George, I got to say, I really do think that it, when you get down to it, what's really behind this is like you said, it's a spiritual matter, but I believe it's a spirit of Sodom, and it's the same spirit that we read about when we read about Sodom and Gomorrah. I've been to pride parades where there's 500,000 people walking down the street, and they're marching and they're angry. They're most of them are not happy, and you know, just the visualization of that brings to mind the entire story we read in Scripture. So I think it's the same spirit, just revealed itself in a different way here in our day.
Yeah. Again, so many of those individuals, they're angry, and some of it's, yes, rebellion. They're acting out. They're hurt. Excuse me. I will say to Christians, if you really want to help the LGBT community, if you go to those pride parades, have a little tract that maybe just talks about God's love and what Jesus did on the cross. People love getting stuff, but go down there and just hand them a tract, give them a bottle of water. It's usually hot on those days. And just simply say, hey, we're from so-and-so church. Give them a business card. If you ever want to attend, we'd love to have you. We don't affirm it, but we don't affirm heterosexual sin. We're fair and just discussing the truth of God's word. But we want you to know that you are welcome. If you would like to come and just truly hear God's word, come. And if you need prayer, we're happy to pray with you and even offer them that opportunity right there on the spot. Is there anything I can pray about for you? You might be surprised at how many of them will just break down and start crying because they're so broken and hurting. They just want somebody to care for them and to be nice to them and treat them like human beings and with respect. Yes, you're going to have some who are just rude and disrespectful, and that comes with the territory. But most of them, a lot of them, grew up in the church home. And they truly want to please God, but they're struggling with this battle with their same-sex attraction. So there are ways to reach out to them just to plant that seed, not going down there with a bullhorn and saying, turn or burn. You're not going to get anywhere with that and just stop it.
Right, yeah. Well, and I've encountered that, and I've also encountered what you just said, where hearts and lives were definitely changed because we were able to have a conversation. Mm-hmm. So. JR, come on in.
Thank you. Hi, George. JR, a.k.a. BJ Edwards. At least I identify as that on Saturday mornings. I want to show you a bottle we took to a gay pride parade about 10 years ago.
And what does it say?
Living water.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And it had a verse on it. He who drinks this water, you know the verse, will thirst again. And then we had a website we went to. So, yeah, you mentioned the bottle of water. The one thing that I want to get into, and it's something that's creeping up in my psyche these days, is we have an Ephesians 5 supposed relationship between the parents and the child. And our society, by the way, is doing everything they can to misrepresent and break that up. You have Jesus Christ, you have man, woman, children. You have that vertical relationship. And I think because of that is gone, I'm going to ask you, what was your relationship with your father? And the question surrounds, did you respect your father or were you told not to respect your father?
I feared my father.
Okay.
You weren't allowed to have a voice. So I'd go to school and I'd get abused there. I'd come home and be just his whole demeanor. Just nothing's conveyed. Oh, I love you, or I'm proud of you, or come tell me about your day. There was such a disconnect. Now, he had his own childhood issues, which I later found out, which, of course, now I can extend more grace. And then you go to church, and, of course, you hear the mean spirit of Christians and their things about the faggots. So here I am. I don't know where to turn to talk this out. I wish my father had been more present when I was a kid, but he wasn't, and it is what it is. I hope I answered your question. I can't remember what the question was. Sorry.
Well, it was about the relationship, but it sounds like the relationship when he was there was strained, but it doesn't sound like he was there that often.
Right. Okay. The demands of the ministry. And this is another bone of contention with me. You know, a lot of churches don't pay their pastors enough money to survive. Mm-hmm. And my father would have to work a part-time or two part-time jobs just to kind of bring in some extra income. So imagine trying to raise a family, you know, hold down a full-time ministry and trying to work some part-time jobs to keep money coming in. He wasn't always there. And then not to mention when you would have people in the church call and so-and-so is sick, and so-and-so broke a leg, someone broke a fingernail, and my dad would be off to go help, you know, counsel those people. I just felt like the church, they stole that time with my father, what little time he was there. And then when he was there, he was probably just so tired and burned out. He probably just couldn't deal with four more kids on top of it. Who knows? All I know is I was seriously missing male bonding. But then again, why were my brothers straight and why was I gay? So who knows?
What? Where were you in the line? Were you the oldest, youngest?
The oldest.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That may account for some of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more expectation on the oldest, especially the oldest male child. But so anyone else in our audience have any comments or questions? Okay, well, as you know, this has all gone even further with the explosion of gender dysphoria and transgenderism. It's really evil for adults to be affirming and promoting multiple genders and transgender sterilization drugs and surgeries for children. So, George, who or what is behind this surge in gender confusion? It's the same monster, isn't it?
Definitely. I think it is so demonic, because if anyone knows what a satanic Baphomet looks like, it has the gender, like the both genders, the male, I mean, the female breast, and I'm sure the male anatomy, but it's more than just messing with the minds of these children and destroying their bodies. But if you really think about it, it's an attack on women, but it's also an attack on even gays or lesbians, because as children, if the gays and lesbians who are told, oh, well, you're an effeminate gay person or a masculine lesbian, then really you're in the wrong body. And it has nothing to do with that. And I shudder to think today, had I grown up in this environment, that they would have definitely told me you're in the wrong body, and I probably would have bought the lie and destroyed my life. It's just so much. It's really just destroying the minds of the children. And again, the legalization of pedophilia. And I really think that the bigger picture, Rob, is by destroying the family unit, removing the father from the home, demonizing men, pushing feminism toward women, which did nothing but destroy their lives, and then destroying the lives of children. I think it's just a concerted effort to take everything that God deems holy and to destroy it. And the family unit is so important to the Lord, so why not destroy it that way?
Yeah, and we're seeing that all come to fruition in incredible ways that I never thought I'd see.
And Rob, may I add one more thing?
Mm-hmm.
I want to say especially, well, to the women, you know, a lot of the lesbians, the reason why they go into that lifestyle is that they have mothers who are cold, cruel, critical, who don't support them in any way. Or for the gay men going into that lifestyle, because their fathers were just like, you know, just suck it up and just be a man, and they show them no affection. I want to say to, especially to the fathers, that whole macho attitude needs to go, because it's not going to work for every young boy. If he is sensitive and he's already dealing with other issues that you are unaware of, and you don't take the time to hug that child and affirm him, or the mother affirm her daughter, all you're doing is setting it up to where they will then go into a world where there are grown men and women waiting to take advantage of your children. Because once they go in that lifestyle, for the most part, the men and women there don't care about your kids. They're just going to use them for sex and whatever they can get out of them. So for me, if I had children, especially boys, for the first 6, 7, 8, 9 years of their lives, I would make sure that I held them, kissed them on the forehead, hugged them, put them to bed, was present, went to their games, whatever it is that they want to do, but constantly affirming them and telling them how much I love them, that I'm proud of them. And even if you fall, I'm still going to love you. If you are ever going through something and you need to talk, you can come and talk to me. I'm not going to humiliate you or react negatively. They need a safe place to talk to a parent when they are struggling. And I think if you give them that foundation, plus hopefully the foundation of being in the church and understanding the word, I think they're going to go into the world much better prepared than those who are so broken and who were missing out on that same-sex parent bonding.
Well said. You know, as parents, parenting is it's got to be our primary duty.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how tired we are, no matter how worn out we are, we need to, you know, love our children and love them properly and take the time, no matter how tired we are. So, which brings me to another topic. Jonathan, do you have the video handy that I sent you? Okay, so we can show that. Elon Musk recently did an interview where he talked about his son who believes he's transgender and who I believe has already had irreversible surgeries. I don't know what to think of Elon Musk. I honestly, he's a mystery to me, but he did say some important things in this video clip that I'd like to show. One of the things he said was that his son was a victim of the woke mind virus. So let's take a look at that, just a short little video clip.
Almost every child goes through some kind of identity crisis.
It's part of puberty.
Exactly. It's just part of growing up. So it's very possible for adults to manipulate children who are having a natural identity crisis into believing that they are the wrong gender. It happened to one of my older boys. I was essentially tricked into signing documents for one of my older boys, Xavier. This was before I had really any understanding of what was going on, and we had COVID going on. There was a lot of confusion. You know, I was told, Xavier might commit suicide. It's incredibly evil, and I agree with you that people that have been promoting this should go to prison. So I was tricked into doing this. You know, it wasn't explained to me that puberty blockers are actually just sterilization drugs. I lost my son, essentially. They call it dead naming for a reason. So the reason it's called dead naming is because your son is dead. So my son Xavier is dead, killed by the woke mind virus. So I vowed to destroy the woke mind virus after that. Almost every child goes through some.
George, your thoughts on that?
Heartbreaking. And he's right. Every one who promotes this, they deserve long prison sentences. And especially the counselors, the teachers, and the medical personnel who engage in pushing these children down this path, they deserve to have their lives destroyed and to be put into prison. It is infuriating. I want to address the suicide issue. That's one of the guilt trips that the activists will use on people. And I'm here to tell you, do not buy into it. They're suicidal because they're in a lifestyle where they're never going to find any peace. And here's proof. If you look at the suicide statistics in the U.S. versus Europe, where they are very liberal and support the LGBT agenda, for both the heterosexual male and female, they are at the bottom, and then it's gays and lesbians in the middle, and then the trans are at the top. They're pretty comparable in terms of the suicide rates. So that right there tells you, if the transgender individuals are just as suicidal in Europe as they are in America, this has nothing to do with those big bad Christians who are just narrow-minded. This has to do with what they are struggling with, and they don't need cross-sex hormones and cross-sex surgeries. They need Jesus, and they need a good counselor. And God can do the healing. God doesn't make mistakes when assigning gender. Do not fall for the guilt trips.
Well said. Well said. Jonathan just texted that he may have a video for us that he can show, but I'm waiting to find out if he can. So in the meantime, anyone else in our audience, any questions? We're down to about our last 10 minutes here. So questions or comments?
This is child abuse, folks. This is flat out child abuse.
Amen.
Yes. And anyone in my view, anyone that hurts a child in this way or in any way, there is no punishment suitable enough. And that's why Jesus said, better to tie a millstone around your neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea.
Mm-hmm.
That's not just drowning, folks. Anyone who knows anything about scuba diving knows that when you go down in the depths of the sea, you implode. So it's like the worst punishment you can probably get in this life. But that's what I believe, that's what they deserve when they lead children into this monstrosity.
Mm-hmm.
Are we ready, Jonathan? Okay, let's take a look at this. We don't have to watch the whole thing, just show us the important
as
part.
We celebrate Pride on the progress we've made over these past years, there's still work to be done. So to those of you out there who are still working against equal rights, we have a message for you.
You think we're sinful? You fight against our rights. You say we all lead lives you can't respect. But you're just frightened. You think that we'll corrupt your kids if our agenda goes unchecked. Funny, just this once, you're correct. We'll convert your children. Happens bit by bit, quietly and subtly, and you will barely notice it. You can keep them from disco, warn about San Francisco. Make him wear pleated pants, we don't care. We'll convert your children. We'll make them tolerant and fair.
At first, I didn't get why you'd be so scared of us turning your children into accepting, caring people, but I see now why you'd have a problem with that.
Just like you worried.
Okay, we can probably, I can't really handle much more of that, Jonathan. Thank you for bringing it up. George, your thoughts?
It infuriates me, number one. Again, it's...
But when I look into his face, I see the face of demonic.
Yeah. It's a Kamala Harris word salad, you know, saying nothing. But really, what he's doing is... They're talking about how we're supposed to respect them and why wouldn't you want your children to be caring? But they turn around and they don't respect those who don't agree with it. Your children are not theirs to groom. Your children are yours to grow and to teach them the values that you have. And I just don't like the smugness about it. And they think it's a joke. And it just really infuriates me. I couldn't see it when I was in the lifestyle. I just thought, oh, it's just those mean, bad Christians and just people who basically hate gay people. But I see how they play on the feelings and the emotions. And they act like, oh, we're going to take the moral high ground. And we're just all about loving everybody and getting along. And why wouldn't you want them to be caring people? But as we know, the lives are destroyed as a result of these lies.
Yeah, they claim to be the most tolerant of people, but they are the most intolerant I've ever come across.
Yes, absolutely.
As we near the end of the program here, George, why don't you take us through your website and show us what we can find there?
Okay,
can we put that up on the screen too as he speaks? There we go.
My website is George Carneal, C-A-R-N as in Nancy, E-A-L.com. You'll see some information and resources, especially on page 2, exposing Satanism, coloring books for children. There's some homeschool information for parents who want to homeschool their kids. And then, of course, there's information on the whole pedophilia, transgender, LGBT agenda and resources, even gay resources for parents who may be looking, or LGBT individuals who want to reach out and see if there is a community of people that they can get involved with to help them just to talk to and to get out of that lifestyle. A lot of information. There's also information on there on how to, for my Rumble and YouTube channel, if you want to check it out, and also how to support this ministry. I would just like to say I get rarely any support for this ministry. I am, censored from media platforms at every turn. I do this. I go through my savings. I do this, you know, out of the love of wanting to help people. I don't charge people for time to talk to them, or even when I go speak, you know, if I speak at Celebration Recovery where people's lives have been devastated, you know, I just give them books for free because they don't have money. But if anyone is looking to sow into a ministry, a much needed ministry like mine, I would appreciate you praying about it. And if you can't do anything, most of all, I would appreciate your prayers, because I get a lot of attacks at every turn. And at times it gets daunting. And sometimes I just feel like wanting to throw in the towel. But I just need prayers for strength, and that God would just guide, lead, and direct my steps, and to help get my message out there to help these individuals. And I also have an email address on there if you have questions and you want to email me.
Yeah. Jonathan, can you scroll back up to the photos of George? I assume those are photos of George.
Yeah, they are. One is when I...
little ways back. Keep going.
Yeah, it's up near the top. A little bit.
There yeah, we right go. There we go.
The one on the left is me as a kid, and the one in the with the long hair is when I was experimenting with cross-dressing and what have you. And the third one is when I was saved. And the fourth one was just what I looked like at the time that I got out of the lifestyle. Just a little bit of a transition of photos.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it is georgecarneal.com. And the book is From Queer to Christ. When was that published, George?
It was published in 2016. And the reason why it has taken me so long to get some traction is because I don't have a machine behind me to help. Some people just don't want to touch the book. And some people don't want to touch it in terms of media interviews or, like I said, in speaking in churches. But God has been gracious in spite of fighting that media mountain and all of the obstacles. He's really getting my message out there. So, yeah.
$6.99, that looks like a bargain to me for the information that you'd receive there.
Yeah. Oh, and I will say, Rob, for the Christians, if they have LGBT loved ones and coworkers and friends, and what I did was I did all of the work for you. I do tell my story, but I talk about hell and Sodom and Gomorrah. I have the plan of salvation, the gospel in there, and I take those talking points and debunk them with scripture, neatly compacted in a book that's less than 140-something pages. It's meat. It's not a bunch of fluff. But if you simply give them the book, they have all of the information there. It'll keep you out of the fray, especially if you want to send them one anonymously. But the work is done, because when I distributed them to my LGBT friends, I knew I wouldn't have time to sit and talk to all of them. But I knew once they read the book, their blood would no longer be on my hands. They have all of the information there. I've done the work for you. So get it and read it, and I hope you find it informative, insightful, and helpful. And share it with those that you feel need it, or even parents who have LGBT kids. Maybe it will encourage them.
JR just had a comment that he put up in our chat saying, buy the book and donate it to your library. Good idea, but if you do that, double check and make sure they stock it, because our libraries are beyond woke at this point. I'm not sure if you're aware, but the president of the American Library Association is a proud lesbian. So,
mm-hmm.
Anyone else in our audience before we wrap things up today? Questions or comments? Now's your chance. All right, so George, I'm going to give you the last word here.
I just want to say to Christians, be bold. I especially, please share videos like these. Most importantly, you never know that one LGBT individual who may be getting ready to take their life because they have no hope, and just by simply you posting a video or them getting the book or whatever it is, whether it's mine or anyone else's, if we can get that one person to know that God loves them and they not take their life, and that they know that Jesus died for them and they come to know the Lord, you can't put a dollar value on souls. And I encourage you to stop worrying about offending people or being liked. I am so thankful for the Christians in my life who told me the truth, because I'm out of that bondage. I would hate to think, I would be furious if I were in hell knowing that I had Christians in my life who loved me straight to hell because they were more worried about offending me than telling me the truth of God's word in love. And because they did care about me and told me the truth of God's word in love, I finally found freedom. I beg you to please don't worry about being liked. God doesn't say go into the world and be liked. He says go into the world and share the gospel. And that means that you will be hated as a result of it. But again, if you can give hope to one person, then it's worth it. And remember, you're going to stand before God on judgment day. We don't want to stand there knowing that, well, I could have done more, but I didn't because I chose to be a coward. Don't. God doesn't need more cowards. We need some real warriors to get out there and to fight this agenda.
Very well said. And folks, don't be afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of. As soon as you open your mouth and speak, God will give you the words and take away any fears you may have had. So I speak from experience. So we are out of time here today. Dr. Mike will be hosting the show next week while I'm going to be on the road. But I'll be back in 2 weeks, and Jamie Walden will be my guest at that time, so be sure to tune in. And again, it is George Carneal, George, CARNEAL.com. Go to the website, make a donation, help George out, and help this ministry move forward. George, thanks so much for being with us. You had some great information, and I know that our viewers are going to be greatly blessed to have this, and all the resources on your website as well.
Well, thank you for having the courage to have this conversation, and thank you for having me on the show. I do appreciate it.
Okay. God bless you. Take care.
Take care.